Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. I'm a broker here at StoneX and Daniels Trading. We work in futures and options. I also do OTC and cash consulting. I work with producers and users, speculating, hedging, mainly in the ag markets, livestock, and energy, but I'll deal with all the futures and commodity markets. Not only I do, but everyone here associated with StoneX and Daniels Trading. If you have any questions, if you know about what I do here, you'd like to talk with me, know what it'd be like being a client, you can give me a call at 312-706-7610 or email craig.turner@stonex.com. If you are a client and you have something on or you want to do something that we're talking about in the podcast, please give me a call. Call my cell. Call my phone at the office, or you can shoot me an email too. If you like the podcast, feel free, please, to go to iTunes and give us a review and pass it along to anyone you might think would like it. And if you want to check out the newsletter, you can go to turnerstake.com and request it there. So let's get into it. It was an interesting week. Still a lot of volatility in the grain markets. We're heading on a down. We're basically ending the week on a lower note. The rains that they were forecasting came. I think that's probably the biggest, you know, and now we're talking about, as we go into the June 30th report on Wednesday, there's a lot of talk of increased acres. So you add in the weather, a lot of rain in the Midwest. I think the Dakotas and some parts of the plains are still, you know, struggling, but there is a lot of improvement that happened out there. These yields will stabilize and maybe even recover some. Not yields, I'm sorry. The good to excellent ratings have stabilized and might even gain some. We'll just have to see with this report on Monday. And then on Wednesday, you know, there's a lot of talk about how many acres are we going to have, right? So the, you know, does corn go up 2 million acres? Does corn go up 3 or 4 million acres? There's a lot of chatter. A lot of private analysts are sending their reports. You know, soybeans, I've seen anything from staying constant to going to 89 million. I haven't seen a whole lot of expectations for 90. And just keep in mind, for every acre we add to, you know, in soybeans, you know, the average production is about 50 million per acre. So we add 1 million acres, that's 50 million bushels. So if we add 2 million, if we add 2 million acres, that's about 100 million bushels adding back to the spreadsheet, you know, to the ending stock. So if I get my spreadsheet out here and I take a look at our soybean examples, and let's go, you know, right now, I think the USDA had us closer to like 87 and change, but just having like an 88 number in there, you know, and then switching over to 89 million acres. Yeah, it's about 5 million. I'm sorry, it's about 50 million. So you add 2 million acres, you're adding 100 million back to ending stocks expectation. You add 3 million acres to soybeans, we're adding back 150 million. So, and yield's a big deal too, because every time when we go up by one on the yield, that goes up by how many harvested acres we have, which is going to be like 96 to 89 million. So you add, you know, if acres go up two, but yield comes down one, it's a wash. Just to give you an idea of these kind of things. And the market's going to be very sensitive to where we are on the soybean market. But right now, with the rains and with the expected increase in acres, soybeans are coming down. Also, the basis is the cash market and the basis is coming down, which it tends to do this time because the harvest isn't that far away. Assuming there is a crop, which there should be, We'll start seeing harvest for beans in, usually September and October. I mean, November is the delivery month. You got to get it done in SEP in October, depending, SEP farther down south, and October, November farther up north. And it's going to be July 4th next week. So if you do not need beans for the next 2 months or just small amounts and you can wait till harvest, that's what companies will start doing. Or maybe they already bought up everything they need and they're covered for the next 2 months and they can wait for harvest to come around before purchasing again, which is probably more likely to be what's going on there. So same thing with corn. Rains are going to help. You talk about, if we have 92 million acres and a trend line yield of, let's say, 178, about 1.4 billion on the carryout. But if, let's say, we're 92 million and 174, we're closer to a billion. What's interesting with corn is every time you add a million acres to corn, you're basically adding, let's just call it 175 million bushels. So if we're at around, 1.4 or 1.3, you add a million acres, you can go ahead and add about 170. So you add 2 million acres, that's over 300 million. If you add 3 million acres, we're talking now about 500 million bushels of corn to the balance sheet, right? So going up 3 million acres, and the USDA is saying we're at a 1.3 or 1.4 stock estimate for new crop, all of a sudden we're closer to 1.8 maybe. So there's just a lot of, now here's the thing, what if those acres don't come in? What if, what's going on here is people are thinking a lot of prevent plant is going into corn and also possibly soybeans. How much was it? I mean, I think the record for combined corn and soy is like 181. And can we really be 184? Right? Can we actually, get there? Or is it most likely we're really around 181 and maybe corn, soybeans are 89 and, corn's 92, right? To get higher of 92 million corn and 89 million acres soybeans, we have to expand the traditional corn and soybean acres map in the United States. So it's very interesting to see what's going to happen. Plus, we've got the June 1 quarterly stocks report, and everyone's expecting tight numbers. Those reports, the quarterly stocks reports, are the hardest to game because you get an update basically every 3 months. And the feed component is very difficult to figure out. The ethanol component for corn, let's say, and the export component for corn, is much easier to figure out because the USDA is continuously updating us on these things once a week with their weekly reports, and then again a check-in with the WASD. So, but you don't get a whole lot on feed and the residual. That's every 3 months. So a lot of time in the market where you don't get an update, and that's why the misses can be bigger, right? If you're going to miss on the weekly, that's just from week to week where you're getting it wrong. If you get it wrong for 3 months, that margin of error can be huge. So that is something to keep in mind. Soybeans usually don't have the big misses on the grain on the quarterly stocks report like corn can, because almost all the beans in use are for the export market, which is tracked very well. And then on the crush, in the NOPA report, the reporting companies that are part of that report are something like 95% or higher of the crush in this country. So you're usually not too far off either on the quarterly grain stocks with the soybeans. The analysts usually do, a pretty good job. The corn one, because of the whole feed component, can really throw you off. So we'll see what happens there. It'll be a very interesting report. One thing that has been going on is not only have farmers been selling and speculators been selling, and end users not buying as much, is the rain has improved and there's this expectation of building acres, and who knows what's going to happen with quarterly stocks. But also, because small moves in the balance sheet can make huge price swings when you're this tight, I'm getting the feeling that we're seeing a lot of reduction in risk. So if you have a big spec position, people are winding those down. they might not be bearish, but they probably just don't want to be holding all this stuff. And like I would, heading into this report, I don't want unlimited risk. Like I don't mind being short put spreads or short call spreads or be long a call or long a put. You know, you can be in futures, but if you're going to be in futures, I wouldn't even bother with stops. I would say you have to have a short dated put as protection. I think I don't see the point in going to this report having unlimited risk up or down, because no one knows what the acres are going to be. It could be a big miss. No one knows what that corn grain stocks are going to be. It could be a big miss. The weather is still a big wild card. And like I've been saying for about a month or so now, I can have realistic ranges of new crop corn being in the mid fours at harvest and $7, on a fall rally, just depending how the acreage number goes and how yield comes in. And you can make those arguments, because if you don't get the extra acres, let's say you only have 92 million acres and a 174 yield, it's not out of the question. You still add on 3 million acres in corn and you got 174, right? Or you're adding 2 million acres, I think, on the corn there. And then you got a 174 yield. We're at a 1.1 billion ending stock, 93 million acres and a yield of 175. You got ending stocks of 1.2. Let's say it's 176, or 1.3. So even 93 million acres and a 176 yield, we're still at ending stocks of about 1.3. It's still kind of tight. I mean, where you really got to start blowing things out, though, is like, what if we're at 94 million acres and trend line? Well, now we're getting closer to a 1.8, 1.9 billion carryout, right? And that's what I think what the market's concerned about, especially with the weather improving. So so when you look at this and you're kind of like, well, what am I doing? Why am I exposing myself to risk coming into such a huge unknown? And I think that's what we were also seeing. You know, part of this move lower is just unwinding of the big long position that the specs have. And I don't blame them. Like, I don't want to be heavy into anything coming in. Plus, we had another big piece of news was, I almost forgot about it, was the Supreme Court ruling about the biodiesel waivers. And basically, smaller refineries, are going to be able, basically, EPA is going to be able to force them to be part of it. And if they need waivers, they can get waivers. So what does that mean to the biodiesel industry and soybean oil? I mean, canola has been on a tear. And today the soybean oil market, soybeans, NOVA was down 22. D-spean oil, as a result of this, was down about 3 full points. So I said the good news for bean oils wasn't limit down. It was, and then it bounced back up, but we're still at 57 for D's. About 60 for July. So we are backing off. There is going to be, we usually make a seasonal low in vegetable oil this time of year. Seasonally, doesn't mean that has to happen this year, but it has a lot to do with the oil in Asia coming, basically being produced and putting a little bit of a harvest pressure on there. That usually happens in like May and June. Malaysia, like palm oil and stuff like that. And then, so I'm looking at the soybean market here, and if we have 90 million acres in soybeans and a trend line yield, all of a sudden ending stocks are 273, and while that's not burdensome, it's not the tightest we've ever seen. And then soybeans probably deserve to be, $10, $11, maybe you hit 12 on the rallies next year. If we're talking about a 300 million carryout or right around there, I think it's going to be lower. But just keep in mind, that's what a 90 million acre and trend line yield means. Probably means close to earning stocks at 300 instead of like 130 or 150 or 140. That can be the difference between beans trading between 10 and 12 bucks and 13 and $16. So there's just huge moves in the market based on a million acres here and there, a yield, for soybeans, yield one bushel either way on the final yield. Because we have huge moves. And that's why we're going to be so volatile. Corn to some extent also. So it's going to be very interesting here. Again, I don't want to be heavy into anything. If we want to do anything, now that we've come down so much, if you wanted to buy a call spread and sell a put spread, I get it. If you just want to buy the call spread, you could do that. Short dated options look interesting. They're expensive, but they're not nearly as expensive as the ones going further out. You can just play it that way, or you can sit on the sidelines. You know, the thing is, when it comes to price is a function. I think I said this last week. I say this a lot, is a function of supply and demand. And you have a better idea over the long term on the demand side. You know, save some issue like things can come out of left field, like the Supreme Court ruling today. I don't know how much that's going to affect it, but you have things like that. But like swine fever, I should say, it can really chop off something in demand fast. If the Biden administration came out and said, hey, we're going full force on clean energy, and that includes biodiesel, well, then all of a sudden that really starts to increase demand because you're going to expect the government to get behind it. So there are things that can happen on the demand side. For the most part, though, it's a pretty constant, or you can, it maybe you're updating your demand expectations every week or 2 weeks or month. The reason why I say that is because on the supply side, between now and let's say, mid-July, we get a month out from here. I think we have a much better idea of how big this crop is. We'll know the acres. We'll have a better idea on conditions. We'll have pretty much gone through corn pollination by then for most of the country, and with just pod setting to come in beans. But we'll be able to see what the conditions are by then, what the 2 week forecast would be from the end of July into mid August. You just have more certainty of where you think that crop can be a month from now, definitely on corn and even so on soybeans. And then you can work with that, production estimates for the next 11 months, right? Or the next 12 months. So much of the supply side gets priced in or is determined, from let's say, through June and July, and the tighter the stocks, and the less room for error, the more the volatility. So once we get through this period and we can just have a little bit better idea on where acres are and then where crop conditions and yield could be, I think the market's going to be a little bit easier to stomach, and the volatility might be not as harsh on some days. So we'll see. But anyways, to get there, we've got to you got to make sure that you don't have too much risk on the table. So if you have some short puts, maybe it's time to buy some short dated puts to protect them, or you buy them in. Maybe get delta neutral. Rolling them down is another option. You can roll puts down if you're short. Same thing on the call side. You don't want to be too exposed in case this thing gets wildly bullish. And I think everything next week is everyone has a fear of missing out on a big move. But in my experience, after seeing many grain rallies and just many like this, the real priority is to not get hurt too bad if you're wrong on the wrong side of things, so you can take advantage. Because whatever comes out of these reports, we're gonna have a much better idea of where we think things might go going forward. While heading into it, it's just the uncertainty, it probably couldn't get higher. So just a word to the wise there, and that's what I'll be doing. I mean, we've already been reducing risk, and I haven't been that active in the market. Hard to be when it's like this. I still like bean oil. I still like the grains. There's a demand story out there. There definitely is a demand story in the grain markets. It's just going to be, we need to know what the supply is going to look like. I mean, just something close. I just want to know something close to what we think the supply could be before we start making our marketing decisions and our trading decisions and hedging decisions. So those are my thoughts. It is going to be an interesting week. If you have any questions or anything, let me know. If you're a client here, let's talk and just make sure we don't have too much risk on the table, and we will just go from there. So again, this is Craig Turner. This is Turner's Take Podcast. I am a commodities broker at StoneX. If you like the podcast, please give us a positive review or pass it along. You can check out the newsletter Turner's Take, turnerstake.com. And everyone have a great weekend. 4th of July is next weekend. I'm looking forward to that, or about a week from now. And again, we'll talk soon, and let's to see what happens on Wednesday. All right, everyone, have a good one.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.